You know, guys, I have discussed many web servers in this channel, but I have failed to discuss one of the most popular web servers that I have personally used for the longest time. And that web server is called IIS, Microsoft Internet Information Services. How about we take a few moments to discuss this beautiful, beautiful web server that is, to me, in my opinion, it's a little bit underrated. Let's just jump into it. Welcome to the Backend Engineering Show with your host, Hussein Nasser. This is the show where we discuss the art and the craft of building software and cover recent news on backend technologies. If you enjoy the show, make sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel and rate it on Spotify and Apple Podcast. With that said, let's get on the show. Welcome to the Backend Engineering Show with your host, Hussein Nasser. And IIS, I don't remember when was the first time I actually used IIS. Could have been maybe 8 or 10 years ago. But I come from a Windows environment, right? So the first computer I used was Windows. I recently switched to Mac maybe 5 years ago. So in my daily job, my 9 to 5, we exclusively work on Windows most of the time. I interact with products that Microsoft offer, things like IIS, which is installed by default. It is absolutely frictionless to get a web server in Windows. You just literally go to features and then enable that thing, IIS, voila, you have a web server. You take your HTML file, you copy it into CINET pub www root. There you go. You just serve your web server. You have a static website. If you want to build ASP.NET, if you have Visual Studio, I built many ASP.NET applications and ASP, the older versions as well. And you can just drop these files and compile them into your IIS, and all of a sudden, you have them running. So, IIS is feature rich. It has so many features. And me being starting with IIS as a web server, in my opinion, this is what I did. I started with IIS and Apache. I didn't work with Apache as much as IIS, to be honest. But starting with that beautiful web server kind of had some negative connotation on my knowledge. Let me explain. Because this web server hides so many abstractions, it has so many abstractions from you as a developer that you start getting comfortable using this web server without knowing how much work it does. And to me, that's a slippery slope for an engineer. The moment you start interacting with a technology that you are responsible for, let's be very specific to that, and you take it for granted, then if something goes wrong, you don't really know what's going on anymore. You're just at the mercy of this black box. And this is something I talked about in my channel. It's called leaky abstractions, right? And I think Joel Spolsky invented this term, leaky abstraction, which is this IIS or this web server hides as much complexity from you as possible. And when it does that, it is inevitable that some of this complexity will leak back to you in a form of a performance problem, in a form of unknown errors, which we got a lot in IIS. It's like, what is this kind of error, right? What is this? Oh, headers already sent. These kind of errors. Oh my God, these kind of days. I remember. So when you don't understand how things work and you take this black box and it works, this is when things get really dangerous, in my opinion. That's why, in my opinion, you really had to understand the fundamentals of things. And IIS gave me this bad habit of taking web servers for granted. I didn't really know that it was actually a web server. It was just, hey, this is the thing that it actually does this thing. You copy and then just host it. How? I don't know. I don't care. Bad. So when I started moving my stack, building actually like a Node.js app from scratch, actually listening is spinning up an HTTP server and seeing the work, I went back and I was like, oh my God, I really appreciate how much work Microsoft did to build this complex server. But now you can sneak into the advanced section and see the knobs. The knobs that you can do in this beautiful web server. So much stuff. And I'd like to take maybe one section of this and then just talk through just that portion. Maybe I'll make more videos to talk more about IIS. If you'd like, if you enjoy this kind of content to make a buy IIS, hit that like button, give me a comment, more IIS videos, please. And I'll make sure if there is enough interest, I might continue doing that. I might even do it anyway if I find interest in that. I definitely find these features very interesting. So let's start with the concept of bindings here. A binding is the entry you create in IIS that corresponds to an address and a port. You listen on this port and you specify the protocol for this binding. So for example, you can create an HTTP binding on port 80. I guess it is also created to you by default. And you can create as many HTTP bindings as you want for a given website. And a website is really this logical thing in IIS that points to a directory. So you create a new website and you say, oh, where is the directory where all this HTML and JavaScript stuff was? And once you create this directory, creates a website, and then you create bindings to link this to this directory effectively. There's permissions and stuff like that too. So now when you go to localhost 80, content will be served from this directory effectively. You can create another binding that points to the same directory, right? And you can create another binding that points to the, you can have many, many ports pointing to the same directory. So another type of binding is called HTTPS binding. An HTTPS binding is a secure version of HTTP. And the moment you say that, right, I've seen this dialogue so many times that I actually seen it evolve in different Windows versions. The first version was literally just a box that says host name in it. It was like, what host name is this really, right? And the certificate, obviously, because if you create an HTTPS binding, that means this is a secure web server. That means you have to enable TLS. That means the server need to serve back to the client its certificate. So you need to provide the certificate for the server. Okay, so that parameter makes sense. Another parameter is the host name. What is the host name that we're actually connecting to? So what are we returning to the user here, right? What host name will be accepted in a request in this particular case? And there is another checkbox that they also recently added. It's called the require server name indication. And I clearly remember maybe 4 years ago or 3 years ago when I saw the first time I saw this box, it's like, what the heck is a server name indication? So I started learning and reading. That led to creating of many, many videos to talk about server name indication, which is very related. It's a TLS extension. I talked about that. Check it out here if you want to learn more about it. And that's when I started diving deep into these the realm of TLS and making more videos about it. So server name indication. So this is the TLS extension that allows you to have a TLS session, and during the handshake, you ask exactly what host name do you really want. So you're connected to the same IP address, but one connection might request site A, another connection might request site B. And the server name indication, right, will tell you which site you actually want, so which content you actually want, despite both sites are served on the same IP address. This is to support scaling web servers. Otherwise, it's going to be so expensive, right? You cannot have a web server in a unique IP address anymore, especially in IPv4. IPv6, maybe we're going to figure this out eventually. But until now, We're going to share. So one single IP address can host many websites. So there's another checkbox that literally, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, they added maybe this in 2018 or 2017. I might be wrong there. It's called disable HTTP2. It says clearly disable HTTP2. That indicates that it is enabled by default. HTTP2 is enabled by default, and they give you an option to disable it. Microsoft, or any companies for that matter, they don't really add features for the sake of adding features, right? So probably when HTTP2, here's what I think happened. When HTTP2 came in, everybody says HTTP2 is better than HTTP1. Let's enable it by default. They did that. They regretted it so fast because a lot of people start complaining that the CPU usage with HTTP2 went shot up high because of reasons I talked about right here, right? So Microsoft added this checkbox to disable HTTP2. That's my guess, okay? Another option is disable OCSP stapling, which stands for Online Certificate Status Protocol. This is to indicate if a certificate is valid or not. So this is another thing I talked about right here, part of the certificate. So another thing that you can actually disable. All right, guys, I'm gonna make this video short and sweet. And I might make another video discussing the pooling, the connection pools and application pool. So much cool things in this web server. I'm gonna see you on the next one, you guys. Stay awesome, goodbye.